Well, Father, I truly do thank you for the people who came out this morning to sit at your table and be fed fresh manna from heaven. Father, I'm asking right now that you just look down upon this congregation. Open each and every spiritual ear and let them hear what you are saying to us, Father. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is so evident here this morning. We thank you, God, that you're taking us higher and higher and higher. And Father, we thank you that we do sit in heavenly places. And Father God, you are teaching us all about your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you know that every day you're going a little bit higher with God? Every day you learn some little tidbit that takes you a little bit higher. And just don't be discouraged and don't stop in any level. Just keep going until you get to the place where God wants you to be, and that'll be the rapture. So you just have to keep right on going. Amen. Because I have found out a long time ago that when you think you've attained it, you haven't attained it. There's so much of God's kingdom that we have not yet even touched. And God is ready to do some great, marvelous things. And right now what he's doing is teaching us some of the things here. I'm just looking. They gave me both of my sermons this morning and this evening. Anyway, we've all gone through about as much as we want to go through, haven't we? But you know, that's what we want to go through. It's not what God has planned for us. So this morning we're talking about a breaking through, a rising, and an opening is coming. The transition we have been going through looks like this. For some, there have been days of sadness and sorrow. For some, there have been days of strange warfare. For others, there have been days of taking thoughts captive that never entered the minds of sons before. For some, there have been deep longings. For others, there have been deep yearnings. For some, there have been long seasons of silence. For others, there have been long seasons of pleading. Haven't we gone through that? Well, be encouraged. For everyone, there has come a dawning. There has come a breaking through. There has come a rising. There has come an opening. For the eyes of the Lord are turned toward his sons, his daughters, his children. And he sees and knows and is intimately acquainted with the sufferings, the tests, and endurances his people have been going through. God is making his people a praise in this season. He's not going to quit until we really learn how to praise him. You know those little springs you used to put on your feet to make you jump up and down? I used to always threaten, you know, to get those to put on your feet as you come in the door so you do some jumping up and down. But I haven't done that yet. You're going to learn how to praise the Lord. You're going to learn how to just loosen yourself and just forget about everything. Next thing you know, you won't even know what happened because you're going to be so caught up in the Spirit and you're going to see great and marvelous things. This is really what God is trying to get us to do. All right? All right, God is making his people a glory in this hour because all his affection is upon his people. His church is his beloved. His church is his bride. He will not forsake her. He will not disown her. Through the tests that we have been going through, God is now revealing to principalities and powers his manifold glory. He's revealing it to who? The principalities and powers. The season we just came through has not been for naught. This season was not to wear you out. How many of you don't have to question that, right? This season was not to tear you down. This season was to prove and manifest to the forces of darkness that the church cannot be hindered. The church cannot be stopped. That's what we've been going through. That's what this is all about. And the church cannot be defeated, for she will rise in this hour with greatness and glory. She will have weapons on the left and on the right. She will have dominion in arenas she never had dominion before. And God will make her young again. God promised that he would restore the seasons of loss. All right, we said up here that The season was to prove and manifest the forces of darkness that the church cannot be hindered. If you didn't have to go through warfare, you couldn't say to the devil, well, you can't stop me. It's the warfare that shows the devil he cannot stop you. If you just sit around and just don't have to fight, don't have to do anything, you aren't proving anything to the devil. But when you go through your warfare and you go through it, you know, you might be crying, you might be crawling, but you go through it, you've shown the devil he can't stop you. That, and then he'll throw something stronger at you. One time God said, now Satan, the enemy, has thrown everything he has in hell at you. You know, he'll try one little thing at a time, and he can't stop you. And all of a sudden, God, you think, where did this all come from? You know, everything that hell has, he throws at you at one time. It is to wear you totally and completely down. We've all been through this season of warfare together. But this season of warfare is getting ready to end. And we are going to go into some great and awesome things with the Father. I don't sit up here and just tickle your ears. If that wasn't true, I wouldn't be saying it. I was laying in bed the other night, and I was praying, and, you know, God just brought something to my attention, and I called Brother Chris yesterday and talked to him about it. If you ever read about Jesus and his deliverance, you know, whenever we do deliverance, we say, go to the pit. We make the person keep saying, go to the pit, until it goes to the pit, right? But God just showed me there was nowhere in the Bible did Jesus ever do that. You know, he just says, come out. And then he showed me where, you know, where the two men in the Gadarene men, when God told the devils to come out of those two men, they said, put us into the pigs. And he said, so be it. And they left. So what God is showing me is we need to have more power, more authority when we're doing deliverance. And whenever we just say, come out, they come out. You know, and I said to Chris, I said, well, if we don't tell them where to go, they might go into a deliverance minister that's not right. But, you know, when Jesus was doing deliverances, there was people standing all around him, and he just said, come out. He didn't stop to think, where are they going to go? Are you understanding this? Saints, what God has shown me is we're not using the full power and the full effect of deliverance like Jesus did. And there's so many things in this word that we are not doing properly. You know, everybody said, well, how come they keep coming back, get deliverance after deliverance after deliverance after deliverance? Well, it might just be because you don't have the power that you need to get them delivered. And just maybe what's leaving is the little guys and the big guys are staying in there. Because like I was telling Chris, when I used to do deliverances, when I said come out, they come out. And it didn't come back. The people were free. I'd get emails 10 years later. They'd say, I'm still free. And they had terrible demons. So there's something that we're not doing right. You know, and once we get that little nugget of what we're not doing right, oh, hell is going to tremble when they hear your voice or see your feet hit the floor. All right? God's trying to take us into the deepness of his word. He told me, he said, daughter, he said, there's so much in my word that people have not yet uncovered. And have you, well, some of you young kids haven't been, but you older guys, you've been reading the word for years and years, and all of a sudden you pick up your word and you start reading and say, I didn't see that there before. You know, and that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you something that was hidden there. And it's a big, just like God was telling me about Jesus, you know, never told the spirits where to go. He just told them to come out, shut up and come out. Amen. All right, let's get back to the teaching here. All right, we need to hear right now what the Spirit of grace would say to those who have ears to hear. Now, do you remember God said, do you have ears to hear? Do you guys have ears to hear this morning? All right. I am making you young again. Well, you teenage girls don't need to be any younger. It took you a long time to get to 18, didn't it? Us older guys, we would like to be younger, right? I'm making you young again. I am restoring the seasons of loss. That's good. I'm restoring the seasons of denial. I am restoring the seasons of betrayal. I am restoring the season. I am restoring the season of strife. I am turning the captivity of my people, and there is laughter and joy again in Zion. What's God been trying to get us to do? To walk in the joy of the Lord. He's been trying to teach us to laugh, not put a fake smile on our face, but really laugh. And you know, when I sort of sit here and I look around, I look at feet and I just see feet just standing. I think, God, put laughter in your feet. You know, when the Holy Spirit takes control of your feet, you can't do anything about it. He's just going to take your feet. I know, because I've been there. He just takes your feet and he just does whatever he wants with your feet. So what you need to do is, Holy Spirit, be in my feet today. I give you permission, Holy Spirit, to take hold of my feet. Remember when we was in the house, every service I get up to preach and he take a hold of my feet. And I dance like I did an Indian warfare dance. And I said, God, no. Because you can tell when he takes hold of your feet and what he has you do, you can't do in the natural. Amen. So God, give God permission to take whatever you want him to take a hold of, to change you and use you and make you more effective in the kingdom. God has seen the sacrifice of praise that has gone up from the ends of the earth. And you know, when you give God a sacrifice of praise, it's when you're hurting so bad. And you've cried, you've prayed, you've done everything you know how to do. And whenever God says, give me a sacrifice of praise, just start singing. It doesn't even come from your heart. You just start singing because you feel dead. And then he says, give me a sacrifice of praise. Just do something. Don't sit there and let the enemy see you defeated. All right. How many of you said, God, I don't feel like this, but I'm going to sing anyhow. You might even come into the house of God and say that. Because we all know that all of us don't come through that door just all excited and all free and everything else. A whole lot of things happen to you by the time you get out of bed until you get into the church door. And then when you get in there, you know, you just praise just because that's what you need to do. All right. All right, God has seen his people who in the midst of their warfare have lifted their hands high and have shouted the shout of victory, even while the powers of darkness have seemed to prevail over their minds, hearts, and spirits. I should have read that before I went on talking. Let's read that again. God has seen his people who in the midst of their warfare have lifted their hands high and have shouted the shout of victory, even while the powers of darkness have seemed to prevail over their minds, hearts, and spirits. Even in the face of demons, God's people should still praise. Even in the face of dark forces, his people still rejoice. Now watch, because God is about to crush Satan under your feet. Under your feet. How many of you know that Satan is after you with everything he has? And sometimes you think you're not going to make it. And even though you know that God is greater than Satan, sometimes you think you're just not going to make it because it's hard. You know, people try to tell you it's easy, but it's not. It's hard because you're in a war of life and death, and you're going to have to learn how to fight and stay fighting. You can't quit. There's no way you can stop. You know, you have to be a little bit bullheaded and say, tell me you're not going to stop, you know, no matter what you try. My father said, you're the most bullheaded child I've ever seen. You know, we have to get that way with the devil, don't we? We get that way with our friends or husbands or sweethearts or whatever. Let's get that way with the devil. All right, an era has closed and a new one has begun. We have started a totally new era on this earth, and you know God told us that. It's new. Nothing is ever going to be the same. It's not a season, but a completely new era. It is as impacting as going from the old steam engines to bullet trains. The former systems are fading quickly. It is time to let the old wineskins officially die. Want some of you guys, let them old wineskins die. You know, get out of your flesh. Forget yesterday. That happened. It's already passed. make this a brand new day. Well, I did that yesterday. That's okay. Make this a brand new day. Then tomorrow, make it a brand new day until it is a brand new day. Whenever, if you'll just keep doing that, eventually you'll see that the enemy will flee. And I don't care who you are, including myself. In fact, I'm saying this because of myself. There's many times that you'll lay in your bed and cry out to God, God, I don't think I can go a step further. God, you give me more than I can carry, but that's not true. Because God said he never gives you more than you can carry. All right? But sometimes the enemy has you feel like, oh, I can't do this. I'm never going to get over this. Life is never going to change. Yes, it is. But you have to fight. You have to fight the good fight of faith. All right. Close the doors of the past and open the gates to the future. This new era is distinct with many impossible paths and open gates. This new era is distinct with many impossible paths and open gates. In other words, God's going to ask you to do something, Sister Grace, at your age, and you say, God, there's no way that that's ever going to happen. But God said, if I ask you and I told you, it's going to happen. Amen. Deanna probably say, there's no way I'm going to be singing, leading people, or whatever God tore. Yes, it is. If God said it's going to happen. Whatever God has said to you is going to happen. God said the glory is going to fall. It's going to fall. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what it looks like around about you. If God spoke it, it's going to happen. The problem is we don't fight. We fight each other, but we don't fight the enemy and let him see that we're going to make this thing. And right now is really the wrong time to be dying on the vine, is what God's saying. Right now is when you should be rejoicing, because right now is where his glory is going to hit with a magnitude that nobody can stop. Right now. Okay, did you read the article where they're having prayer meetings and kids are leading the prayer meetings? I don't mean teenagers. Kids are leading the 10. It's the 2,000 or 3,000, something like that. And I was totally shocked when I read that. Big auditoriums full of the young kids, you know, like Isaiah and Paul, leading prayer meetings. And see, the article I said that they're seeing miracles. Okay, you teenagers. The little squats can do it. Why can't you big squats do it? You know? Let's get out there and let's show the devil that we mean business. I would like to see that happen in Delaware, not wherever it was it's happening. I would like to see Delaware bust wide open. There's enough prayer groups around, and, you know, and I would love for God to go ahead and do something with these prayer groups. Right now, we must be careful, or we will walk as a persistent old wineskin who is undying to change instead of moving in true servant humility. Get rid of your old wineskin. Wake up. I see you sleeping in here. Make your eyeballs come open. I won't look at you so people won't say, oh, just get yourself awake. We must allow our agendas to expire and learn to live for the Lord's plans. This requires deep humility and mature faith. What's it require? Deep humility. And I wish y'all would get rid of your spirits of pride. Good grief. It's going to keep you from what God wants to do with you. The Lord is saying now, be prepared to do big things. Be enthusiastic to do the small and temporal in order to bring something great in another's life. Not your life, but somebody else's life. You know, God has been asking us, lay down your life for others. And the church hasn't yet perfected that. Because the church is still wanting their flesh, their way, and they want to be the one that gets blessed all the time, and they could care about the other person. What we need in here right now is we need, I'm not going to say what we used to have, but we need the greater glory where there won't be anybody sleeping. There won't be anybody going, oh, God, is she ever going to shut up? Because I see you doing that too. The glory of God will be so strong and it'll hit you, knock you out of your seat, and you'll stay on the floor for 2 hours. That's what we need. Why is that not happening? And God just said to me, you know why it's not happening. It's not the perfect timing. Well, anyhow, I'm going to blame it on y'all. Amen. Come on. God has to break and cleanse us with the water of humility in order to display the shining spiritual diamonds that are hidden deep within. And every time I hear that song, he's making diamonds, you know, I think, God, you're so awesome. If you ever read about what diamonds go through to be a diamond, they really go through a time, don't they? All right, let's take a close look at the Israelites. Joshua 2:1. God said, go look over the land, he said. Joshua said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. All right. What was she? A prostitute. God used such an abnormal condition to bring transformation later. God's methods can be challenging to our patterns. God was setting up something totally new. He is doing the very same thing in many lives today. In spite of the fact she was a sinner, Rahab's household was spared. See that? Watch how you judge. Then God blessed her womb to be part of the greatest genealogy of all time, Jesus Christ. In this new era, God has begun to call the prostitutes of our nation back to him. Remember he said the prodigals were coming home? Like Rahab, their wombs will be blessed and they will lead large regions for Christ. And you can read about that in Matthew chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. What if, now just hear what if. What if the Israelites would have said, no, this can't be God? They might have missed it. How many of you say, no, this can't be God? We must get ready to work with people that have rough edges. Deanna. There's somebody in my house, you know, that, you know, they're married, but to look at them, you think, how, this can't be God. And I've said that, so God corrected me. He said, this is of me. And I forgot what else he said. So the rough edges are there, you know, and you think, you know, you watch what goes on in the interaction, you say, God, this can't be you, but it is him. And he's working things out the way he wants to work out. So let's not be too quick in saying it's not God. All right, I said we must get ready to work with people that have rough edges. In fact, the person you don't like might be the fertilizer that God has sent your way to help you grow into his likeness. Come on. The person that you don't like. You know, I think about it all the time when somebody really rubs me wrong over and over and over again. I say, okay, God, how much more refining do I need before he stopped this? You ever think that? You know, he sent somebody your way and you think, I got to get rid of this. But God said, now you're going to stick right with it because I'm not through refining yet. You, not the other person. All right, then I said, in fact, the person you don't like might be the fertilizer that God has sent your way to help you grow into his likeness. Be alert. They are coming to do you good. They're going to make you the strongest diamond in the world. Ask Joseph how he made it to the palace, and his testimony will be filled with the wickedness of his brothers. He would tell you about the 13 long years he spent in prison and even encountered Potiphar's wicked wife. He will probably not tell you much about the palace itself, but he will make sure you understand how he got there and the people God used in his life to get him there. Looking back, he will tell you that his dream was so big that God used his enemies to unwrap it. Are you seeing this? You know, don't shun people God puts in your life. God has a purpose why he has you there. And you'll be like music. God, are you sure? Have you lost your mind on this? Well, that's the way I talk to God. I don't see you in this. He says, you will. He doesn't tell you what you're going to go through, though, before you see him in it. But you will see him in it. God still seems to use the enemy's plans to bring out the best in us. Hear that? You and I may have old wineskins hanging on that. You and I may have old wineskins hanging on that must go in order to prepare for the lost to enter the kingdom. we, you and I, who know Christ, still have things in us that have to go before God can use us to win the souls. So if you're wondering why the harvest hasn't begun, is there still something in you that God has to remove, or you'll destroy the souls that he sends your way? Think about that. And don't say, oh, no, not me, that you're the one that has some you need to get rid of. All right? I'm serious. This is an era that is changing the entire earth, and it really is. God's ways may not come about exactly how we planned, nor will they look precisely how we thought. We need to be flexible to handle the new strategies of the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of things that God called, one thing God called me to do, you know, and I finally didn't want to, but I gave in to him and did it. And about 2 months down the road, I said, God, why didn't you tell me I was going to have to go through this when I said yes to your plan? He said, if you would have known what was going to happen 2 months down the road, you wouldn't have said yes to my plan. So, you know, he sort of sneaks you in there and gets you to do something for him. And then you find out what you have to go through to finish what he wants to do in another person's life. All right, so are you God's servant or are you not? You know, or are you just in this earth to satisfy yourself? Everybody that's here at one time lived in heaven. Read your word, it's in there. You and God had a conversation, and God said, I need you to go to earth to accomplish some things for me. You say, okay. That's why you're here. You're here to do the work for the Father. Your life doesn't matter. But as you do the work for the Father, you'll suffer and suffer and suffer. I was going to say things will turn and then be really good, but you're going to suffer. But still you're happy. You know, I'm going to teach you about poor in spirit tonight. Now explain that. But, you know, you're going to suffer for Christ, but in suffering for Christ, you're happy. You know, everybody said, the Bible said we are supposed to be peculiar, right? Well, the world looks at us and says we're nuts, so that's peculiar. And then we look at the world and say, well, you're crazy, more crazy than we are, right? All right, God's plans may look very unusual. Remember that Rahab was spared in Hebrews 11:31 by faith. By how? Faith. The prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed, but those who were disobedient. Also remember that one door shut and another larger gate-like door opened for her. As this happens, we must be like the men of Israel. Now listen to this. They were pure enough to stay the night in a prostitute's den, yet they remained faithful and spotless before the Lord. And, you know, when I read this, I thought, you know what? That wouldn't happen today. The man would go to bed with a prostitute. I'm serious. We all know that's true. I'm not saying every man, but we know that's happening every day, every second of every day. But here, these men, they kept themselves pure right in a prostitute's home. This is walking in the fruit of the Spirit, you know, staying pure. Prepare for unexpected plans to unfold as you become a light in a darkened world. How many of you know that your light isn't as bright as it should be right now? But you're working on it. You're allowing God to change and rearrange, and you're working to put your light to be so bright that it'll dispel the darkness. And how many know sometimes your candle falls over and goes out? And you have to relight it again, right? We get discouraged, you know, and our light isn't as bright as it should be. All right, there are many broken and wounded people both in and out of the church. We need to cry out, Lord, help me give the tangible love that Jesus had. Give me some breath of fresh air for those who feel like they are not needed. I wrote that because I encountered something in my home yesterday, and there's somebody in our home, and I said to my daughter, I said, you know, I'm a child of God and a pastor, and we're not treating this young man right that's in our home. and I had to repent. How many of you have done that? You know, you run across somebody, I don't care what they're doing, you're still a child of God and you're still supposed to teach them the love of Christ. You know. Give me some breath of fresh air for those who feel like they are not needed. We need to understand that a major breakthrough is coming on behalf of the poor in spirit. And I'm going to teach about that tonight. You can no longer stay in immaturity because you are hurt and wounded. Did you hear me? So many people sitting in the house of God cannot mature in Christ because they're still carrying around their old hurts or old wounds. And God has been dealing with us. Get rid of that junk. We need to know that God is releasing the broken to fly. All who are broken are going to take flight and soar high. All who have been left behind in their wounds and pain will be released by God. God is releasing the broken to fly. In other words, if you're sitting in the house of God and you're wounded and you're broken, God's going to heal you totally and completely, 100%, and you're going to fly with the eagles. You're going to soar into the heavenly places with God. And you're going to forget all about your past and walk into a totally brand new future, a new era of your life. And if I was you, I would be saying, God, I want to step into that new era today. I'm tired of what's been going on in my life all these years. I want a new life. I already did it, so I'll give you a chance to do it. We need to take every opportunity God gives us to be what he wants us to be. You know, I don't care. You know, like, you know, I was thrown out on the street when I was, what, 8, 9, something like that, with my 5 brothers and sisters, no place to go. I don't dwell on that. I don't even think about that. I only think about it when somebody else, oh, poor me. You know, well, you know, you're not the only ones, oh, poor me. You know, my son-in-law there, I guess that's what he is. You know, he was thrown out in the street when he was 8 years old, never knew a home. But, you know, he's not letting that destroy him. He's building a life. See, we have to build a life. Somebody else isn't going to do it for you. And while you're building a life, what's going to happen? That you're going to have your ups, you're going to have your downs, and you're going to have your flyaway moments when you just want to escape, right? God has released a special time and season for the Matthew 5:3 people. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Always remember that we never fly alone. God always carries us on eagle's wings. Our wounded season was our Egypt. Are you hearing that? And God is carrying us out of Egypt on eagle's wings. When we say yes to moving out of our pain and wounded history, God carries us higher and higher. Each wound takes you higher as God takes you out of that place. This is a time when those who have been broken and wounded are coming up and being released into supernatural things, as well as being released back into the church with great acceleration of love and compassion. In other words, those of us who just were wounded so hard to God, I just don't care about nothing no more. I've said that. You know, I didn't mean it, but I said it. You know. And then God, in his great mercy, he comes and he speaks and he woos me, you know, and you know, tells me how wonderful I am and, you know, makes me feel so good. Then I just said, I'm so sorry, I was stupid. Because that's what God does to you when you're really down and out. He'll come and he'll tell you just who you are in him. He'll tell you how much he loves you and he holds you tight, you know, and it's sort of good to know somebody loves you that way. And it's not an earthly love, it's a heavenly love, and what he says he means. He does not play around with you, he does not. I lost my place. Where am I at, Chris? Those who have been broken and poor in spirit have the character that God is looking for. They have no delusions about who their provider is. They look up to the mountains, they know from whence cometh their help. And that's Psalm 121. Have you been broken and poor in spirit? Then this morning you need to understand who your provider is. Always remember that when God closes one door, he always opens another door. And if you remember the Lighthouse Church, We are for the Philadelphia church, and God said he's opened a door that no man can close. He told me one time, he's a daughter, I was really having a twit. And he says, the only person who closed that door is you. I'm never going to close it. That door's always going to be open. So if I go down, it's me that takes me down, not God. So if you go down, you take your own self down. It's not God taking you down, because God builds you up. And God did not promise you that you wouldn't go through pain. He did not promise you that. He said, all in Christ will suffer. And, you know, that does happen. What are you going to do? And God gave me a prophetic word last week saying the persecution of the church has begun. So what are you going to do when somebody comes to you and says, you know, you're going to be like Peter and say, I never knew him. Then realize what you've done, how you've left Christ down. And then say, Father, I'm so sorry, forgive me. And then give your, then Peter knew then he was going to die, right? So, where are you at today is what I want to ask you in your walk with God. Are you totally, completely, 100% sold out? Is your walk with God just a Sunday morning, you know, just a Sunday period and a Wednesday? Or is it every day of the week? Is it just whenever you wake up, or is it whenever you're sleeping also? You know, as you go to sleep, say, God, please visit me in the wee hours in the morning. What kind of walk do you have with God? God wants you to have a perfect, 100% brand new walk with him. He doesn't want you to reach back into the old at all, period. He wants you from this day forward to just say, God, I don't want what I've been going through. I don't want what I had. I want the brand new that you are waiting to give me when I asked you to give it to me. That's what God wants to do to you today. He wants to, and some of you have a past that you wish that you could just never, ever, ever, ever think of it again. God doesn't. He throws it in the sea of forgetfulness. But always remember, your past is your testimony. Are you listening here? Everything I've ever gone through, God's used it as a testimony to help other people. Everything you've gone through is your testimony for the men when you minister to the men. You know, guys, you're not the only one in the boat. You're not the only one that's been hurt, abused, rejected. You're not. All of God's true children have gone through the same things. If you read about the disciples, all the true disciples that were devoted to God went through the very same things, and they all died. So what makes us any different? Now, if you don't want to die and go to heaven, well, then just quit God and go to hell. I mean, that's where it's at, right? And if you stay with God, well, then you're going to suffer, but you're going to be happy in your suffering. I'm going to teach you that tonight. And you're going to spend the rest of your life in heavenly places. And one day we're going to come back down here and rule and reign for 1,000 of perfect peace years, right? That makes me want to go to heaven to begin with. Wouldn't you like to rule and reign 1,000 years in perfect peace? Some of you that are as old as I am, you know how it used to be peaceful, you know, and everything was just wonderful. Well, it's going to be that way again. But I believe it's even going to be better. The altar is open for anybody who wants to just say, God, just take my old life and give me a brand new life. Make me the child of God you want me to be, not the child of God I've made myself to be, that I'm not happy with. The altar is open for that this morning.